You're listening to the Call Put Strike Financial News and Insights Podcast. We're recording every day the markets are open. Subscribe today and also follow us at callputstrike.com. Good evening. Today is Thursday, June 25th, and we have another episode of Call Put Strike, and it is daily news and financial insights. My name is Scott Ponywaz. I'm the host as well as the publisher of callputstrike.com. I'm going to put a call out on today's episode that we are looking for additional writers to join our team. So if you're interested, shoot us an email over at news@callputstrike.com to express your interest. We'd love to have you on board. So we are growing the team, which is exciting. Again, that's news@callputstrike.com. After that little hiring announcement, let's get into today's financial news. For today's market news, Disney dips on reopening delays and Apple shutters stores. Here is your daily financial news for Thursday, June 25th, 2020. Thursday saw a choppy trading session as stocks alternated between green and red. The Dow Jones ended up rising by 1.18%, the S&P by 1.09%, and the NASDAQ as well at 1.09%. The Federal Reserve will be releasing the results of a stress test for banks after the closing bell on Thursday. Should be happening any moment now. This will provide investors with a general idea of whether United States banks are going to be able to sustain their dividends throughout the pandemic. The Fed added new categories for the stress test to analyze where any problems may lie. We'll take a look at that tomorrow. Apple has added to its list of closed stores due to the spike in coronavirus cases. 14 additional stores will be shut in Florida, resulting in a total of 32 stores now being shut in the state. In a statement, Apple said, quote, "We take this step with an abundance of caution as we closely monitor the situation and we look forward to having our teams and customers back as soon as possible." Shares were up 0.2% today. The unemployment report for last week was released today. 1.48 million new unemployment claims were filed for the week ending June 20th. This is the 14th week in a row that claims have been more than 1 million. Neil Dutta of Renaissance Macro Research stated, quote, "Jobless claims are not falling fast enough. Everything we have seen in the last week or two between rising case counts and hospitalizations, stalling economic progress in some important states, government job cuts means one thing. The phase four of fiscal stimulus must be bigger. Things should be better in 3 to 4 weeks, but the news will get worse before it gets better. One trend we saw was more missed payments on auto loans, which often correlates with higher unemployment as well." Oil rose on Thursday. However, it is still on track to end its second week in a row in the negatives. West Texas Intermediate rose by 1.87% and Brent Crude increased by 1.84%. The governor of Texas has announced that the state will not continue any further reopenings at this point in time. This is due to the large spike in COVID-19 cases that have occurred over the past week. He does not plan on ordering another complete lockdown, but things will remain as they are for the time being. The governor, Governor Abbott, said, quote, "As we experience an increase in both positive COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations, we are focused on strategies that slow the spread of this virus while also allowing Texans to continue earning a paycheck to support their families. The last thing we want to do as a state is go backwards and close down businesses. This temporary pause will help our state corral the spread until we can safely enter the next phase of opening our state for business." end quote. Again, that was Governor Abbott of Texas. U.S. banking regulators introduced more lenient restrictions for investing post-crisis. One of these changes involved how much money banks would need to set aside for derivative trades. Banks rose today, with J.P. Morgan gaining 3.1% and Citigroup, Bank of America, and Morgan Stanley all rising over 2% in their stocks today. Disney has relented due to the urging of many of its employees and will now be delaying Disney World's reopening in Florida. It had been scheduled for mid-July, but will now be pushed back. Shares fell by over 2% after that announcement. And that wraps up today's summary of today's financial news reporting. And after a quick word from our sponsor, we'll be right back with a look at a topic related to real estate and investing and how to rank affordability across all the states in the United States. Should be an interesting little topic for the second half of today's episode. So hang tight. We'll be right back in a second. And welcome back to the second half of Call Put Strike. This segment is the insights and trends segment. So today what we're going to take a look at is we're going to take a look at real estate and investing and try to understand the most affordable states and how to rank affordability. So the cost of living is getting higher every year that passes, that's no question. Rising costs due to inflation make it difficult to build a profit in many areas of the country. Many people struggle to settle down because they simply can't afford to live comfortably. Taking a look at the whole country, which state is the most affordable? So first, how do we rank affordability? So determining affordability takes many factors into account. For one, the cost of daily life, such as groceries, is examined. It also looks at the cost of house prices and rent, which vary significantly between each region. Finally, the affordability also considers the median family income. The higher the cost of living, the less likely that the average household will be able to live there. So, what is the most affordable state? Well, Mississippi was determined to be the most affordable state in the country in 2019. It has two nicknames, the Magnolia State and the Hospitality State. Mississippi has some of the cheapest housing in the country, receiving top marks when citizens were surveyed. As well, buying a steak in Jackson, Mississippi will cost about $10, which is half the price of buying one in my home city of New York. The average cost of buying a home in Mississippi is $275,509 on average. The cost of a half gallon of milk is $2.90. The cost of a household's monthly energy bill is close to $130. And the cost of visiting a doctor is about $90. So, what are some of the other states out there that are affordable? Iowa is another very affordable state. The median household income is $58,570, and the average house price is $314,988. The house is considered to be a four-bedroom, 2,400-square-foot home. The price of 1 pound of ground beef is $3.66. The cost of a half gallon of milk is $2.03, which is about 87 cents. Less than, or I'm sorry, 77, yeah, 87 cents less than that of Mississippi. Sorry, math on the fly here, just to put it into perspective. And the cost of a dozen eggs is $1.46 in Iowa. So trying to find a place to live in Iowa will not set you back very much. Rent for a bachelor or a one-bedroom apartment can easily be found for under $1,000 per month. Urban areas near cities and local amenities tend to be much more expensive than rural locations. In rural areas, fixer-upper houses can sell for around $100,000, which is below their sort of average home price of $314,988. Iowa is a great state for businesses to establish themselves as well because the cost of living is low. This means that they can pay their workers close to minimum wage as they get their businesses off the ground. So, looking at the least affordable state, unsurprisingly, Hawaii takes that leading spot. Hawaii is the least affordable state in the country. It is a tropical paradise, and Americans pay a premium to live there. Visitors to Hawaii will spend thousands and thousands of dollars on just a week-long vacation by the beach. Buying a home in Hawaii will cost $1 million on average. If you are looking to rent a place, it will cost you close to $3,000 monthly for a two-bedroom place. On average, the monthly energy bill will be around $450 per month, very high compared to other states. Well, that wraps up today's episode of Call Put Strike, Daily Financial News and Insights. We're rolling into the weekend. Friday's tomorrow, almost TGIF. So we'll be back with the last episode of the week and take you into the weekend happy hour on Friday evening. With that, wraps up today's episode. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you tomorrow. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Call Put Strike Financial News and Insights Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and head over to callputstrike.com for more financial news and insights. And now for our quick disclaimer. Stock recommendations and comments presented on callputstrike.com and the Call Put Strike podcast are solely those of the analysts and experts quoted. They do not represent the opinions of callputstrike.com or Call Put Strike podcast on whether to buy, sell, or hold shares of a particular stock. Investors should be cautious about any and all stock recommendations and should consider the source of any advice on stock selection. Various factors, including personal or corporate ownership, may influence or factor into an expert's stock analysis or opinion. All investors are advised to conduct their own independent research into individual stocks before making a purchase decision. In addition, investors are advised that past stock performance is no guarantee of future price appreciation. Opinions expressed here are the author's alone, not those of any bank, credit card issuer, hotel, airline, or other entity. This content has not been reviewed, approved, or otherwise endorsed by any of the entities included within the podcast, and by using this podcast, listening to it, you are agreeing to the terms of use and privacy policy outlined on callputstrike.com.